This morning we want to talk about respect for the authority of the Scriptures. The authority of the Bible. Do we have respect for it? Oh, sure we do. Yeah, the Bible is God's Word. Let me begin with this analogy, if you'll allow me. Most of you have probably never heard of a series of books written by a British author named Douglas Adams. It's called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a comedy series in a lot of ways, but it, I guess, kind of mocks some of the things that people tend to want to hold on to. And in this series, he deals a little bit with some of the fundamental questions of the universe. In fact, one of the books in the series is called The Life, the Universe, and Everything. And so in that book, he talks about the ultimate question that has puzzled people, that gives them meaning to life. And of course, because of the fact that it's a comedy and not really to be taken seriously, he has these people who invent a computer that's going to figure out the answer to the ultimate question of life. And when that computer finally, after thousands of years, comes up with the answer is 42. And they say, that's 42. They say, yeah, you wanted me to find the answer? That's the answer. But you didn't think to ask me what the question was. So now you're going to have to make another computer to figure out the question. So they make another computer to figure out the question. Well, down through the whole series of books. But at the end of the series, the question turns out to be, what is 6 times 9? Now, most of you who took math know that 6 times 9 is 54. But what if our fundamental understanding of mathematics was so flawed that instead of 54, 6 times 9 was supposed to have been 42, and we've had it wrong all these years? That was the idea. And how would that affect everything else in life? What if 2 plus 2 equals 7 instead of 4? You know, that kind of thing. Well, in the same way, spiritually, I think there are a lot of people who are having real problems in their life because they have missed one of the fundamental questions of life. And that is, where do you get your authority? Where do you get the authority to do the things that you do? And the vast majority of the people in this world have the wrong answer. And because they have the wrong answer to that question, it affects everything else in their life and in the world. And until we can figure out the right answer to that question, we're never going to succeed in this life. Have you ever tried to play a game that you've never played before without the rules? How well would that work out? I did this with the teenagers one day in the youth devotional. I got a deck of cards and I said, okay, we're going to play a game. And oh, good, we're going to play a card game. And so I started dealing cards and I dealt 3 cards to this person and 8 cards to that person, gave this one over here only 1, and gave this one over here about 12 or 15. And I said, okay, let's play. They didn't have any idea how to play. They didn't know what the game was. There weren't any rules. Everything has to have rules. And without the rules, you can't understand it and you can't make it work right. Some of them started trying to play spades. Some of them started trying to play hearts. Others were trying to play go fish. And you know, I mean, but they didn't know because it was chaos. Well, that's the way the world is living life. Total chaos because we can't agree on what game we're playing or what the rules should be. We need authority in society. We need it. desperately. And we have to agree on it to some degree. Authority means the power both to command and to enforce obedience. Now, both parts of that are very important. My daughter will often command me to do something, but she doesn't have the ability to enforce that. And so I don't do what she demands and commands. Of course, a lot of parents do, but that's a whole different issue. But the power both to command and to enforce the obedience. You know, anybody can go out there and say, well, this is the rule, this is the law, and you've got to do what I say. But if they can't back it up, it won't accomplish much. Do civil authorities possess the authority to demand and to enforce obedience to the law? That's what the police are all about. They make the laws, and then they have a police force that's out there to make sure that those laws are enforced and that the people who break them are punished. What would society be like with no authority? There are a couple of nations in the world where you could go and find out. Somalia is one of those nations. They haven't had a working government in years. And because of that, it's total chaos. The rules change from one place to another depending on which gang of thugs is in charge. And of course, that could happen anywhere. You want to see what's society like with no authority? Look at New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina hit. That's what society is like, and there's no authority. The police were gone. There was nobody to enforce any laws, and so people just did whatever they wanted to do. And there are a lot of people living like that religiously, spiritually in this world as well. They're just doing whatever they want to do. They don't recognize any authority. Well, we're going to move quickly through this second one. We need to recognize divine authority over the world. Who created the world and has authority over it? I guarantee it wasn't you. And yet sometimes we act like we're the ones in authority. We're not. Is there anything that makes you angrier than even a policeman who acts like he's God? You know, we know he has the authority to enforce that law, but he didn't make the law. Somebody else made the law. He's just there to enforce it. And sometimes people will get very mad at us as Christians when we point out a law that has been made and that someone is violating. They'll get all upset at us. I didn't make the law. You didn't make the law. You don't have the authority over the world. You didn't make this world. Somebody falls off a building and breaks a leg or breaks their neck. It's not my fault. I didn't make gravity. But I can tell somebody who's walking along on the top of it, be careful, if you fall, you're going to get hurt. They go, well, who are you to tell me what I can and can't do? Nobody. I'm just telling you. The law of gravity is there. If you fall, it's going to hurt. You're going to hit the ground. It's not going to feel good. And so sometimes, though, in religious matters, people have a different idea. Acts 17, verses 24 through 26 tells us about this. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelt not in temples made with hands. He made it all. And since He made it, He has authority over it. If you go and get some materials and build something, make something, it's yours. You can do what you want to do with it. You can sell it. You can keep it. You can give it away. You can tear it up again. It's your choice because you made it. God made this world, and He has the right to decide what to do with it. Well, who has authority in religious matters today? Jesus does. Now, Jesus is God. He is part of that Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me." So he has it all. He has all the authority, and no one can question his right to make the law. Of course, many still do, don't they? How much of what Jesus commanded is supposed to be taught to all nations? We're supposed to just go tell them, God loves you, Jesus died for you, you're saved now because I told you that. Isn't that wonderful? No, afraid not. Jesus said that we are to go and teach all the things that he commanded. All the things he commanded. We don't get to pick and choose. But sometimes we do. We certainly do in our own lives. We pick and choose the things that we want to follow. The things that are easy, we do. The things that are hard, we ignore and pretend we didn't read that part. Who guided the apostles' teaching and writing? John 14:26, Jesus says there, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you." So he told the apostles the Holy Spirit was going to come to them and he was going to guide them to remember all of the things that Jesus had already taught them. They didn't come up with it on their own. They didn't make the rules. I know sometimes we read that scripture that says, whatever you bind in heaven, on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Oh, the apostles got to make the rules. No, they didn't get to make the rules. That's not what that verse means. What that verse means is, you bind what God has already bound. You loose what God has already loosed. You don't get to change it. But because you're binding what God has bound and you're loosing what God has loosed, what the apostles then said was law because they were simply repeating and writing down and telling people the law of God. But they weren't making it any more than Moses made up the Ten Commandments. Okay? Moses wrote them down, but he didn't make them. Moses wrote the old law, but he didn't make the law. God makes the law. Okay, the third thing then that we not want to notice is some of the false authorities that are used by many in religion to disregard the Word of God. The first one is man's own thoughts and ways. This is the one that we use more often than any other, ourselves. And he said, I believe the Bible. I do what the Bible says. Do you really? Do you always do what the Bible tells you to do? Well, of course we don't. Sometimes we think we have a better way. We talked a little bit about that in our New Converts class this morning. We talked about Abraham and Sarah and how God had promised Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Sarah is going to bear you a son. But they were getting old. And Abraham and Sarah got together and said, you know, I think we can come up with a better way to do this. And so Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham and they tried to do it that way. We do the same thing sometimes. We know what the Bible said about it, but, you know, this time it'll be all right. Or, well, I'm not really telling a lie. I'm just leaving out some of the details. I'm still lying because I'm not telling the truth. We do a lot of those kind of things in our lives where we decide with our thoughts and our ways. We say, well, I know the Bible says this, But that just won't work in our world today anymore. Maybe it worked back then in the first century, but not anymore. You can't do that way anymore. You don't believe me? When Jesus says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. What's the first thing we say? Well, you can't really do that. We can't do that. I mean, somebody take advantage, somebody beat us up, or they get... Yeah. When Paul says, owe no man anything, and they say, well, that doesn't really mean that we shouldn't go into debt. Really? Owe no man anything. We like to think our own thoughts and ways. Isaiah 55 and verses 8 and 9. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. He tells us, our way of thinking will lead us to destruction. It'll lead us to death. But we don't want to acknowledge that. We want to think, our way is going to work. It's going to work just fine. Then sometimes we're guilty of determining our teachings based on the majority. Majority rules, right? If most of the people in the United States say that abortion is okay and it's legal, then it's okay to do that. If most of the people in America say and it's legal for homosexuals to get married, then that's okay. If most of the people in the United States say that it's okay for people to be living together when they're not married, then that must be okay. And sometimes we think that way. We think that just because a law has passed or that people voted a certain way, that's okay then. The majority rules. Works in a democracy, but it doesn't work in God's kingdom. Hear that word, kingdom? A kingdom is not a democracy, and you don't get a vote. The only thing you get to do is choose whether you abide by the law or don't abide by the law. But we want to follow the majority. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 warns us how dangerous that is. Jesus says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Are most people going to heaven? Not what Jesus said. If Jesus is telling us the truth, and most people are going toward destruction, is that a safe guide for us to follow? Is that where we want to go? We want to go where most people are going? Some use the authority of following the opinions of our family members or ancestors. Well, my mama and daddy always did it this way. Or, I traced my roots back all the way back to the first people that founded this church back in 1800 and something. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39, Jesus says, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. We've got to make a choice. It's not an easy choice, I know. We love Mama and Daddy and all the things that they did for us growing up and all the things they taught us. We even love them despite the bad things that they did to us from time to time. No parents were perfect. But we've got to remember that we've got to make a choice between those imperfect parents and a perfect Savior. We need to follow Christ. And then, of course, some worship God based on the traditions of men. They believe their preacher, their pastor, their reverend, and they do what he says, regardless of what the Bible says. In fact, a lot of times they don't even know what the Bible says. And I'll tell you that that's not just in denominational churches. There are some people in the Church of Christ who believe what their preacher believes because that's what the preacher believes and that's what the preacher said. The preacher will have to stand before God and be judged. But you will also have to stand before God and be judged. And you won't be judged based on what the preacher said. You'll be judged based on what Jesus said. And if you only know what the preacher said and you don't know what Jesus said, you're going to be sorely lacking for some of the right answers when that test comes. Have you ever seen children in school when they try to cheat on a test? The teacher, if the teacher is trying it at all, will almost always catch them because they all missed the same ones. And they all missed the same ones the same way. You know, it's one thing for 50 of us to take a test and we all miss number 3. Okay, well that's fine. But if we all miss number 3 and give the same wrong answer, then that says something, doesn't it? We all got that wrong information somewhere. And we probably all got that same wrong information in the same wrong place. Well, there are going to be many on the Day of Judgment who are going to be there with the wrong answer. And they will have gotten it from the wrong place because they haven't studied God's Word. Matthew chapter 15 and verses 8 and 9, Jesus says, "This people draws nigh to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Jesus talked to the Pharisees about the fact that they made the law of God null and void by their traditions. They put their traditions up here above God's Word. And we can be guilty of the same thing when we think a man knows better than God. We need to have respect for the authority of the New Testament. How much of the Bible is inspired by God? 50%? 75%? 90%? Well, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 that was read earlier that it's 100%. All Scripture. He didn't say most. He didn't say some. He said all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. All of it. So when we start reading and we say, well, I don't like that verse. I'll just skip it. That was some of God's Word that we just skipped. Now, we remember, of course, that just because the entire Bible is inspired, that doesn't mean everyone who spoke and it was recorded in the Bible always spoke the truth. The devil's words are recorded in there too. Okay, that doesn't mean that what the devil said was true and inspired by God. It means that the recording of it was accurate and perfect. So if the devil said something, then the one who wrote down what the devil said wrote it exactly like the devil said it. There weren't any misquotations. Nobody, you know, the devil is not some poor little misunderstood fellow who really isn't that bad. He really is as bad as the Bible says he is. So we do need to understand that, that inspired does not mean that we can just flip to any verse and always say, well, I know that verse must be telling me the truth about what to do, because it may not be. It may be recording something bad that someone did, or something wrong that someone taught. But it may be recording that in order to refute it. Paul did that on a number of occasions. He would point out, here's what the false teachers say. Now, if you just take what the false teachers say instead of looking to see how he answered them, you're going to be in trouble. You've got the wrong thing. So that's what inspiration means, that it is accurate and accurately recorded. Well, how many testaments are there in the Bible? Got some choices there. Last time I checked, I think there were two, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Which one of those two are we under today? There's Old and New. Now, if we understand anything about Old and New, we know that the New replaces the Old. That's the way it works. We go have an old car, and we go trade it in for a new car. We don't leave the new car there and drive back home in the old car. That would be silly. We have to trade the old for the new. Well, who is the mediator of the New Testament? We know. That's Jesus. What did Christ nail to the cross when he died? Colossians 2:14-17 and Ephesians 2:15-16 tell us that he abolished the law of commandments. Got rid of it. Took it out of the way. Does that mean then, since the Old Testament... You mean the Old Testament... Ooh, so all those... You know that Ten Commandments that said you shall not commit murder? You mean that means I can go kill people now, right? No. Christ's New Testament goes a step further. Instead of just saying don't kill somebody, Jesus says if you are angry without a cause, you've already murdered in your heart. So Jesus goes even further. He gets to the heart of the matter. The New Testament elevates Jesus as the only Savior. He's the only one. Acts chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. Speaking of Jesus, Peter says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This idea that's floating around out there, and it's so common. And, you know, especially in the political realm, it floats around. So it doesn't matter what God or what religion we serve. We all get along. And, well, there's a difference in getting along and in being in agreement. As Christians, we can get along with anyone who's willing to get along with us. But that doesn't mean we agree. And the fact of the matter is, as we point out those disagreements, it will make it increasingly difficult for us to get along with them, because they will not want to get along with us. They are happy to get along with us as long as we say, yeah, you're okay. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, everything's okay. I used to have a t-shirt when I was a teenager, and it had that saying. It says, if you're okay and I'm okay, then explain this. And it had the cross on it. If we're all okay, why did Jesus need to die? He didn't die for people who were all okay. He died for people who weren't okay. They were dead in sin and needed life. Imagine walking along, car swerves over and crashes into the telephone pole, and you run over there, and the fellow's had a heart attack, and he stopped breathing. And somebody comes by and says, well, what should we do with us? He's okay. Not okay, he's dead. If you don't revive him, he's going to stay dead. You get a good CPR and get the heart going again and do the mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and all that. He's going to be dead and stay dead. You got to give him back some life. But we walk around all the time. People are dead in sin all around us. Some of us here this morning are dead in sin. We say, oh, you're okay. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Well, if we're dead in sin, we're not fine. And of course, then we say, well, who is the founder of the church in the Bible? Matthew 16:13-18. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He didn't promise to build a whole bunch of them. He only promised to build one. We've got to study God's Word. We're just touching the surface with this. This is just talking about how much we need to believe the Bible and respect its authority and do what it says. We've got to believe it. Once we believe it, we've got to accept it and internalize it. It's got to get inside us. Just because I can say what the Bible says doesn't mean I believe what the Bible says. And once I accept it, then I've got to apply it to my life. If Jesus is the only Savior and I haven't come to Him, then I guess I'm still lost. Oh, okay, wow. Can I just go on about my business with that knowledge? Or am I going to have to do something about that? We've got to make decisions based on what we read in the Word of God. And those decisions that we make are going to cause us to do some things and to stop doing some other things. And if God's Word doesn't affect you like that, if reading it is no more, it's like reading the newspaper or a magazine, and you enjoy reading it, but it doesn't affect the way you live your life, then I submit to you that you've never read the Bible. So, well, yeah, I've read it. You have never really read it. Because if you really read it, then it's going to change your life. Either that, or you're going to quit reading it. Because it's going to force you to make a decision one way or another. You cannot read this book, really read it, and really believe that it's from God, and then stay static in your life. It's got to change you. It's either going to drive you away from God, you're going to get so mad at it, you're going to say, I don't ever want to pick that book up again. Or else you're going to say, wow, there are some things in my life that are wrong and I've got to do something about it. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, Christ is the only name under heaven under which we can be saved. If you believe that, if you believe that He is the Son of God, if you believe that He died on that cross and was buried for 3 days and rose again, if you believe that and you're willing to repent of the things that you have done that violated His authority and the authority that He put forth in His Word, in His law, the Bible, are you ready to get rid of those things out of your life? If so, you can do that. Confess that He is the Christ, the Son of God, just as Peter did there in Matthew chapter 16. And then be willing to be baptized to wash your sins away. You can do that today. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you have not been respecting the Bible's authority, you've been just doing those things that you wanted to do. You may need to change that today. If you don't change it today, then when will you? You may never have another chance. If you're here and you have a need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.